just like a really awkward pause before the first person decides that they'd like to share. So this is your time, first person, to decide that you would like to share, and we're all just gonna wait. So who's it gonna be? You are welcome to come. Who's it gonna be? I'm not gonna call names. I won't do this to you. I'm not gonna call names yet. Is it Joshua? Yes. We are so excited. Woo! Joshua Jasmine, everybody.
The mic is yours. Make sure to hold it up to your mouth.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joshua, for those of you who don't know me. Haven't been around much this semester just because of being busy as a senior. And originally I wasn't going to share a testimony tonight, but as I was coming home from an event earlier today, I heard a hymn on the radio and felt led to say something. I think it's "O 4,000 Tongues to Sing" as the name of the hymn, but the verse was, and this is speaking of Jesus, "He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free, his blood can make the foulest clean, his blood atones for me." And so, a little bit about myself. I was born in Mexico. I was a missionary kid, spent 7 years there. Grew up in church, and I've spent a lot of time, around Christian people and a Christian home, and reading the Bible, praying, doing all sorts of, that Christian stuff. For a long time, everywhere I went, it seemed like people would always think that I was really spiritual. Having a close relationship with God does, it when that happens, it shows. But when it doesn't, it's not always what it seems. I originally wasn't going to share a testimony tonight because I haven't really felt very close to God recently. Just been too busy to really spend time with him and fellowship with him and fellowship with others. But he created us for each other, to uplift each other. He's the one that gives everyone the power to just live. As I said, a lot of people often looked at me and thought that I was very spiritual, but it doesn't matter how spiritual you look or how spiritual you don't look, we're all in the same boat. You, me, your pastor, the Pope, we're all sinners. In Romans 3:10, it says, "There's none righteous, no, not one." And Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. And the Lord has laid the iniquity on, laid on him the iniquity of us all." And when it's talking about him, it's talking about Jesus. He is our shepherd. And I always liked the countryside, even though I was born in the world's greatest or largest city at the time, 30 million people. But to be honest, I haven't really seen too many sheep, so it's hard for me to imagine, you know, what does it mean to be a sheep? You know, the Bible talks about us as sheep. And really, a sheep without a shepherd, it's not quite like a fish out of water, but a sheep without a shepherd is in big trouble. There was a sheep in Australia, I don't know how much you know about sheep, but every so often they have to get sheared, their wool has to get sheared so that it doesn't grow too heavy. So if it's left unchecked, then it'll just keep growing and growing until it starts to hurt the sheep. And so in Australia a few years ago, they found a sheep that had been out in the wilderness for no one knows how long. And it had so much wool on it that it could hardly walk. I think it was like at least 60 pounds of wool that they took off of it. And it had been wandering for years. It was about to die. But, you know, just thinking about what it means to be a sheep, I need a shepherd. I can try to do things my own way. I can try to do things in my own power. I can even try to do good things in my own power. I can try to do Christian things in my own power. I can try to be a good person. I can try to obey God in my own power. But in my natural state, I'm a sinner. And I don't have the power to do that by myself. And then, not too long ago, there's another verse that came to my mind that really made me stop, and I had to think about it for a bit. It is in Matthew 7. And I apologize for being a bit slow here, but Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we not cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so that just speaks to the importance of making sure that that you are right with God. You can think that you're right with God. You can even feel that you're right with God. But if you examine yourself and you find that you're not, that's not a good situation. And it's really, really serious because the Bible says in Romans 6:23, first it says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So you can go for a week, maybe a month even, a whole year, feeling pretty good. You know, I haven't done anything seriously bad. I feel like I'm walking well with God, and I read my Bible every day, I pray to God every day, I do good things for him. But we still sin, even at our best. And that's why we can't do this alone. We need the power of our shepherd to lead us and to guide us. And it's really serious because the wages of sin is death. And that death is, it's eternal death. When you die, what will happen after that? Eternal separation from God. But it's also, it can be death in this life. How is your life going if you aren't if you aren't allowing yourself to be guided by the shepherd? People often say it feels like I'm dying on the inside, or metaphorically. Sometimes they mean it, sometimes it actually feels that way. But the result of not being right with God can also lead to your life being a mess. And it's a mess that we don't have the power to clean up, only Jesus does. And I said, the first part of Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death. But there's good news. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's life, not just going to heaven and you die, but also life in this life. Being full of life, being able to serve others well. It won't always be an easy life, but it'll be a life worth living. Someone last semester during finals remarked to me that she felt like she was dying on the inside, and I told her, well, I'm glad you're still alive on the outside, but, we can be dying on the outside, and indeed we are. We're all going to die someday, but living on the inside, and that affects how we live our lives and what an impact we have. First John 4:10, one of my favorite verses. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, or the sacrifice, for our sins. And First John, a few verses later, 4:19, we love him not because we love him or because we're trying to love him or we're trying harder, but because he first loved us. He gives us the power to love him. And it's just very powerful. In another passage, he refers to himself as the great shepherd. He gives a parable about a group of sheep that are kept in a little enclosure with a gate to it, and the shepherd's there guarding, and there are some robbers that try to come in and do harm to the sheep, but they don't come in through the gate. They try to climb over the fence. But the sheep didn't recognize them, or they knew that they weren't the one who was caring for them. And after he told that parable, the disciples were a little confused. They said, they asked him to explain it, and he said, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Or find, he leads me by green pastures and by still waters. He maketh my soul to rest. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and not just any life, but that they might have it more abundantly. And so I don't know what your relationship with God is like. You may be a Christian, you may be not, but this applies to everyone. Even if you are a Christian, are you just living life, or are you living it more abundantly? Because Jesus has the power to help us to live the best life that we can be. We don't have to wait till heaven to make the most of the gift that God has given to us. It can start right here. And I have to confess that I don't do the best job at that. I have to keep reminding myself, I am a sheep. I can try to do things my own way. I can try to do things in my own power. I can try to do things God's way, or what seems like God's way, but try to do them myself, and try to give myself the willpower to do it. But if I'm not looking to him first, he's in front of me, he's the shepherd guiding me with his staff, then ultimately I'm going to fail. But he cares for us. And I learn that more every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Joshua. Thanks, Joshua, for that. Who would like to share next? It's Lydia. Lydia wants to.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to be short because you heard me like 2 or 3 weeks ago. You don't need me to talk for very much longer. But I also was not sure that I was going to give a testimony because I spoke a little while ago, and I was like, you don't need that. But God kind of put something on my heart, reminded me of something that he's been working on in my life for the past 4 years, here at the Well and through a lot of my life, and just felt like that is something that I should share with you guys. So just a short story. Freshman year, I remember being here towards the beginning of the year and hearing for the first time, I think somebody from stage during worship was talking about how we're all messy people. But that, like, God wants to be invited into our mess. And so I tend to be a little bit of a perfectionist. I like to present myself well and make sure that nobody knows that, like, I am a deeply messy person in my personal life and, like, in whatever. And so I was like, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to invite you into that mess. I need to clean that up first, and then you can come in. But all through the past 4 years, like, that message keeps coming up, and God's like, no, like, I actually want to be invited. And not only, like, do I want to be invited into it, but, like, I want to help you clean it up, because we're not meant to do that alone. We can't do it alone, as Joshua just talked about. But God constantly is offering us the love and grace required to clean up our act, to clean up all of the things that we feel like we have to hide. And, like, God is just so stoked to be a part of that. So that's what I wanted to share with you. That's all.
Woo, woo, woo. Go, Lydia. This mic could be yours. Come on, Matthew. Woo! Oh, yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matthew. I'm not a well leader, but I do sound every once in a while. Unlike my two previous predecessors, unlike my two predecessors who were very humble, I'm pretty self-absorbed, so I knew I was going to be speaking tonight. No, but in all reality, I'm a pretty nervous public speaker, so sorry for the breathiness. Just a small story. When I was going to college, I didn't get into any of the colleges I wanted to, so I went to Ashland. That's a good thing. Preface that. But basically, I was kind of lost. I didn't really know what my purpose was. I wanted to feel accepted and stuff. And I had heard about the Well, and I wasn't really sure about it my freshman year. But then my sophomore year, I came because of a girl. But then I stayed because of Jackson. even though that is a joke, that does lead into something that's bigger. I stayed because of the community. They really accepted me here. I found friends who I've enjoyed immensely, and these connections that I've made with people throughout these 4 years, people who are older than me, people who are younger than me. I've had opportunities to grow in Christ and do stuff that would be outside of my comfort zone. That all being said, the only real thing I want to leave with you guys here tonight is that we're all students, we're all part of a bigger community, and part of that is a responsibility to our studies. It may seem very important, and it is very important to do well in school, but to an extent that might get in our way of glorifying God and building a community of believers. It's really easy to get distracted by the nitty-gritty of life. I know that in my life, it has definitely been a big aspect, education, and to an extent, it's kind of obscured or blurred my view of God because I've prioritized incorrectly. I know that whenever I get with someone and spend time with them who is a believer and who I know I'm spending the time with to really enjoy and connect, that to me is worth more than any like homework that might be due. Don't get me wrong on this. School's important, but don't forget about the aspects of Christianity and community that's really important and keeps you where you're supposed to be.
Thanks, Matthew. Stop. Is this Wyatt Smith coming to give a testimony? Yes.
For you. You want me to hold it?
Thanks. I'm Wyatt. I don't actually go to school here, but I am a graduating senior. So, I have something specific that I want to talk about. I've only been here the past year, and like Matthew was saying, I've really experienced the welcoming and the inclusiveness of this community, and it's been really good for me. I've found, the Well has taught me that you can have influence without having a title. So I'm not actually a Well leader, same as Matthew, and I've still grown so much through this community, and I think that I've been able to grow it as well. And so, I just want to encourage you, if you don't have a status or a position, you still have the capacity to create change. And that's true for the Well, and other parts of life. So your other student organizations or your classes, stuff like that. And don't think that you're too young or too different or too inexperienced, because God uses your weakness. And if you do have a position, say you're a Well leader or president of a club or something, then use it, because otherwise it's just a waste. I think I also want to talk to the graduating seniors, because you're about to lose your status too and your position. People aren't going to respect you as much because you're not a senior anymore. It's true. So yeah, this is the same for you. God can still use you even if people don't respect you. I also want to close with some verses from Hebrews. And yeah, think about this. It talks about witnesses. Think about the witnesses as this community, and specifically the graduating seniors, and then also the focus of Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thanks, Wyatt. Taylor. Hey, well leaders, you're getting beat by the not well leaders.
Thanks. So I probably won't make it all the way through this without crying, so bear with me. I actually have been really nervous about talking to you guys about my testimony. I've considered giving one in the past and thought, you know, why is my story worth telling, or what weight do I have speaking to all of you? And so I did a little bit of digging, talked to some people, and it's funny how God just kind of places little, like, things in your life where it makes you realize, you know, what you should be doing. It's like the answers come out of nowhere. But for the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, the story of Moses just kept, like, being brought up. And so my grandma, she's reading her Bible for the first time, which is, like, amazing. And she started it off by asking me, you know, why didn't God let Moses into the promised land? And I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I should open my Bible and figure it out. Well, I came back to school, and I didn't. And so I asked Lydia about it the other night, and she had some answers. But it was funny because the very next day I went to dinner with one of the people I kind of look up to from Substance Church. And she brought up Moses again, and I was like, all right, I have to read it. Like, I have to know what's so important, like, whatever. And so I opened my Bible. I know, it was good for me. And I started reading it, and 4 chapters in Exodus 4, 10 and 11, I'm going to read it to you here. It says, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I am not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? And so I was like, well, I guess my testimony should be heard. Maybe I should talk, you know? And so I grew up in a small town at, like, southeast Ohio, so kind of far away from home right now. But I grew up, I went to a Christian preschool. I went to a Christian school a little bit in my grade school, and then I ended up going to public school after my great-grandma passed away. And she was kind of the glue, like, of my family. We all would go to her church with her, you know. She kind of kept us together. And so when she passed away, we stopped going to church. And at that point, I was like, you know, if you're going to take the best thing in my life away, like, I don't like you, God, you know what I mean? So we kind of had a falling out through high school and a little bit coming into college. But being away from home and coming to a place, you know, that I've never been before, I kind of had a little bit of an identity crisis, trying to find out who I am outside of my family. And I started falling into habits that, you know, weren't so good. I didn't really have this friend group that was really solid. I just kind of went about my day-to-day life. And so I felt really separated from God. Like, I had no hope or no purpose in being here. So as time went on, God continued to show me, like, his love and his faithfulness. And slowly helped me kind of find the right people and the right groups. It started with the melting pot when that first started up. People were praying over me, people I'd never met. I'd never experienced that before. But I still was like going, I was going, coming back from service and still falling into the same path, you know. I wasn't ready to leave where I was, because change is kind of scary for me. So it wasn't until one of my professors came to me and was like, hey, I think that you would really love this missions trip to the Dominican Republic. And I was like, why would I go to the Dominican Republic? Like I can't pray over people. Why a missions trip? And she was like, just go, just learn, be open, you'll love it. I was like, okay, all right. So I went. I have actually, like, I have never felt, like, the love and compassion, like, from a community more than I did in the Dominican Republic. And so it kind of changed my perspective on things a little bit. I was like, okay, I this is something I want to learn about. Christianity is something I want to pursue again. And so at this point, you know, I had made some friends within the Christian community, and they started to pull me in a different direction, which ultimately got me here now. So not long after this trip, something really not good happened. And I kind of had a moment like where I didn't think I would go on. And so in this like lowest moment, you know, I felt very alone, and I asked for God to like step back into my life and just kind of show me a way. Sorry, because I really didn't think that there was gonna be a way by myself anymore. And so I thought, you know, who better to come along with me than God? So the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so that's what I did. And I slowly began to find like the hope and the joy in life again. And so, and coming back to school, again, God's working his magic, and he started just placing people in my life, new friendships. One of them was Ross, actually, and he was like, hey, why don't you come to the well with me? And I was like, okay. So I kind of found a community that I feel like I belong in. It's a little late, but better than never. And so I started going and meeting people at Substance more regularly, making friends here. And I ended up going to the well retreat, actually. And at that point, I feel like I really knew that this community was different. Like, you guys have a good thing going here. So I feel like this past year or two, I've kind of found my purpose in life again. And so I feel like my life's work is to continue to serve others, because that's something I love. And that's something that I feel like other people need. And my job as a nurse, you know, is gonna help me do that. But I feel like my purpose is more to be a servant to God and just be present and kind to people and a friend for people that need it. So Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So now that I'm graduating college, there's a lot to look forward to. It's hard to feel like I am not leaving something behind. So in starting over, I'm planning to move to South Carolina, for those of you that don't know. But in starting over, it's been a little bit of a fear factor. Like, am I gonna have this like moment again where I feel like I don't belong, or like, why am I here? Why did I leave what I had, you know? But the difference this time is that I have God with me. I have a support system that I found here. And I know what I'm looking for in friendships and in church, because you guys have showed me what it looks like to have the Spirit of God like in you. And so I have a lot of you guys to thank for that. So I have hope in the future, knowing that God will continue to keep his promises and put people in my life that are, will be there like to support me and guide me. But I want you guys to know that like God keeps his promises. He's faithful. He'll counsel us. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. And this is like the kind of love and trust and the kind of God that I hope everyone here gets to know, because he's been pretty great. So whether this is your first time here or you come here every week, I want you to just keep the faith and know that you're loved and you're seen and you're making a difference in someone's life, especially mine. So thanks.
Thanks, Taylor. All right. We've got time for more. I still think this is important. So, who is next? It's time. Who's next? Jackson. Yeah, Jackson.
For you? Oh, thanks. Hi. So, God has situated me in a lot of really incredible communities throughout the course of my life. This is one of them. Something very important took place in my walk with God during the time that I was here. So I'm going to tell you that story. I think it's an important one. There's some background, so I'm going to try to be brief, but I also kind of need to do the story itself some justice at the same time. But it's my hope that if anyone here might be going through the same or similar sort of thing that I went through, that this might help a little bit. So I did not grow up in the church. My mom started taking my sister and I was when I was in like seventh grade. I had absolutely no interest in God whatsoever. I was like neck deep in the angsty teen phase, real bad. I was like, I don't need to go to church to believe in God. This is enough. I'm fine. So I think I was going to youth group there, but everyone was older than me, so they all graduated. I was there alone, so I stopped going, and then eventually my family stopped going. And then as I was like actually kind of maturing, God just kind of inexplicably gave me this desire to find another community. It was really weird. not something I'd ever experienced before at that point. I just, you know, all of a sudden, I need to find this again. I was going to youth group before that just to hang out with people. This was not like that. I was like, I need to find some people who know God and can help me out here. And so I did. I ended up at a different church. And immediately, all of these people that I had met in, you know, this new youth group became some of my closest friends ever. Like, some of the closest friends I had ever had up until, like, I didn't even know that talking about your emotions was something you could do at that point. This was revolutionary to me. And I had all of these people, you know, we became really close friends really quickly over the course of just a few months. Like, you know, I'm still really good friends with a lot of them. So this was great. I mean, I was riding this high for as long as I possibly could. Still wasn't quite getting to know God the way that I should have, but it was certainly a start. He had placed me in this community. It was amazing, and I was cognizant of it. And so I'm getting more and more involved in this church. I brought my family back to church. I think one night in late fall that year, we were going to have an overnighter. It was a guys' night. We were like, hey, let's get all the guys, all these teenage dudes in the same room. What we're going to do is we're just not going to sleep. We're going to eat a whole lot and just see where that goes. So, you know, I showed up super excited for this. All of my great friends were there. I love these people. Going to have an awesome night. I walk in and I'm like hanging out. There's this one guy there that really hadn't shown up. I'd seen him at youth group like once or twice. No idea who this kid is. Never talked to him. Really kind of sucked at getting to know people at that point. So I was like, you know, whatever. I don't need to get to know anybody new tonight. I'm here to like play dodgeball for 6 hours straight at, you know, the dead of night. But what happened though was immediately I'm talking to one of my good friends, and he's like, I've got some music to show you. And I'm like, sick, that's my whole personality right now. So I sit down with him, and he gestures to this guy I don't know. He's like, hey, Toby, come over here. Let's talk about music. I know you got some good music. I was like, oh, all right. Guess I'm getting to know this dude. What followed was about 3.5 straight hours, like without interruption, of us just losing our minds to music. Like we're all like crowded around this music stand. We were sitting on the stage that we used to do worship. One music stand. I don't know if you're familiar with how those work, but they tilt. So we all had our elbows on them, like trying not to flip it off into one another's faces. Matching each other's energy about this music that we're sharing with each other. 3.5 hours, it's a long time. The youth pastor came up and was like, you guys need to like cut it out and talk to some other people. Like this has been a long time. It was awesome. Like one of the best conversations I've had in my whole life. I was like, this is somebody that I want to get to know further. I want to be friends with this person. I should start talking to people. I went to school with all of these people, by the way, and so I saw this guy in school following this. I absolutely did not do that at all. Didn't start a conversation. He didn't start a conversation with me. I was like, this is okay. You know, I can learn how to do this. I can take some time and just ignore people until they talk to me. And then a couple weeks later, on December 1st, he was dead. He took his own life. And I really, you know, I didn't know him that well. He was really good friends with all of my new friends, though. So kind of watching everyone go through this, and no matter how well you know the person, that's still a lot. So a lot of really hard questions about God kind of started surfacing in my life. And they all wrapped around back to, you know, where were you in this? And of course, you can find those questions in a lot of places. This is where I found them. And like the aspiring Christian that I was, I ignored them for as long as I could because they were terrifying. I was scared of finding an answer that would, I don't know, condemn me or condemn the people that I knew or change the way that I felt about this situation. I really didn't know how to feel about this situation. I spent a long time ignoring my own thoughts about it for the sake of trying to be there for my good friends. And really, as time went on and all of our thoughts kind of moved away from this over the years, I never really came out of that habit. I was still running from these questions. It became the norm. I started picking and choosing which parts of God I felt comfortable with and felt comfortable acknowledging on a regular basis. And so eventually, I end up at Ashland. I'd been playing in worship bands in different settings for quite a while at that point, so I rolled up to the Well on the first night I possibly could, and I was like, hey, can I play on stage, please? And Tyler Henry was like, yeah. Thanks for asking. And so I ended up in another really incredible community. But I'm still kind of running from half of my relationship with God. And at this point, I kind of stopped even realizing it. I was in here like, I love God. Like, I genuinely do. I genuinely love God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I'm learning more about him. But I was still refusing to address this topic that had been following me for years. And the result of that was that it caused this breach between God and myself. I wasn't really making it across the gap, if you know what I didn't have the closeness that I wanted from God. I was looking for it all over the place. No idea really what to do with myself. And kind of without me noticing, I'm surrounded by all of these really great and supportive people at the Well. I'm really dedicated to it. I'm playing in the band every week. And it just starts to get to me without me noticing. I wish I had noticed. I'm not sure that that would have changed much. Maybe I could have done something about it sooner. But I'm incredibly, incredibly thankful that I still ended up in a place where I addressed these things. You know, I found the answers that I was looking for. I found that, you know, sin is the inherent cause of our suffering. God didn't want this for me. He didn't want this for my friends. He didn't want this for this awesome dude that I barely ever got to know. But he wants what I have now. He's very deliberately placed me in this situation, and I believe that he's very deliberately placed all of you in this situation, and I'm very glad that we're all here together. And I am happier than I think I've ever been in my whole life right now.
Thanks, Jackson. Okay, we've got time for one or two more. Nice. Caitlin.
Greetings, people. My name is Caitlin. Am literally employed by the Well. It is within my job description to give announcements. I always read that very liberally would find someone to give announcements for me, so I would never have to be in this position ever. But here we are. It's happening. It's not announcements, though, so I guess that's different. During my freshman and sophomore years, when I was a wee little babe sitting in the crowd, for some reason I remember all the seniors talking about their future plans. That just hasn't happened this year, but I'm gonna talk about it. I would honestly always secretly judge them for not really having a plan, not knowing what they were doing. I was like, how do you not know what you are going to do? That's scary. Get it together. And I would often pride myself on having a plan, one that I thought was pretty freaking good. I went 3.5 years doing everything to make sure that plan would come true. I got accepted into law schools, I received scholarships, and was pretty ready to pay a seat deposit. However, in March, I realized I wasn't excited about it one bit. I decided maybe I didn't want to actually do any of those things. Maybe that's just what I thought I was supposed to do. And this realization, for some reason, gave me a lot of peace. Even though I didn't have things figured out one bit, I was at peace with the decision, and I think in my heart, I know it was because that God had placed me exactly where I was supposed to be. Over the past year at Ashland, I had realized that this is a really amazing community. The people are not only super nice, they actually care about you. And the Well has been more than just an agenda item or something to do on a Thursday night. There's always been something that made me feel like I wanted to keep coming back. And it wasn't because I was comfortable. I would often leave feeling very, very convicted and like I needed to change. However, I still couldn't really put my finger on it. I think, like I said, it was just because that God had put me where I needed to be. It didn't make sense. It wasn't logical, but you're where you're supposed to be, even if it doesn't feel like it and doesn't fit into your plan. I realized that I didn't know why I chose to come to AU. It literally makes no sense at all. I'm like from Indiana. There's like a ton of schools where you could study any of the things that I studied. But I'm really glad that I came here. I saw God in places that I didn't really ever expect to see him. I learned to be present in the things that I was doing, and I learned that showing emotions was really okay and very important. I learned to be vulnerable and how to make strong, deep relationships with people. It's really weird to think that we're all moving on, but I know that this place really did change me and will change all of you. You'll come out a better person, and for that, I'm extremely grateful for the Well and for everyone who was showing up for me day after day, and especially everyone on Thursdays. So a few things that I would like to leave you guys with and that I have learned these past 4 years. You're really, 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 really where you're meant to be. To always be present in the moments and to not be afraid to show your emotions. Fun fact, you're not weak because you cry. You're actually supposed to do that, so remember that. And finally, to expect your plans to change, even if it's not what you had envisioned for yourself. Because wherever you end up, God will have it under control, and he'll have things taken care of. And no matter what you do, you'll always be loved and have a community that will surround you and show that love to you as well. So thank you, guys.
Great job, Caitlin. All right, is there anyone else who is a graduating senior that would, oh, Cam. Cam is here.
Thank you. All right, well, hello, everyone. This is really unscripted, so again, I just ask that you would bear with me. Funny enough, when Sadie asked me if I was gonna share tonight during our leaders meeting, I said, no, I don't think so. And here I am. But really, just some thoughts that came into my mind as I was listening to all of my fellow seniors give their testimonies was just about this idea of legalism. And so I just want to talk about that for a minute and kind of my experience with it. So basically what legalism is feeling like, you know, you get bonus points in your relationship with God because, you know, you stay away from certain types of music or movies. And don't get me wrong, that can be a very healthy thing to do if you feel convicted. But doing them in a sense of, you know, I'm only doing this so I don't, you know, suffer the wrath of punishment from God for doing this really just takes the joy out of following Christ altogether. And so I've learned that through trial and error. I do have actually a scripture that I want to read. It's from Romans 3. It's Romans 3:27. And just in simple context, it says, can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So again, getting back to these convictions that, you know, any one of us may have about, you know, what we watch, what we listen to. Of course, we always need to be guarding our minds. Everyone, you know, has their own convictions, and that's really between you and God. But I also encourage those of you who may be struggling, like I have with these issues, to open up to a trusted brother or sister in Christ and see what they have to say. I know my two roommates, Ross and Joshua, have really been a really solid support group for me in that. And it's been great. All three of us have different convictions about different things, and I think that's what makes the body of Christ so beautiful in its sense. And lastly, just some words of advice that I would like to leave everyone with is when you're dealing with these convictions and you feel a certain way about a certain thing, let that goal be to be a witness, not just to unbelievers, but also to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I actually haven't been a Christian for a super long time, just a couple of years now. But what my goal is now is even to, you know, use that to be a testimony, of course, to unbelievers, but also to my brothers and sisters in Christ who have been following the Lord for longer than I have, and be a witness to them just as they have been to me. So those are just some practical words of advice that I want to leave everyone with, and thank you for listening.
Thanks, Cam. Okay, we're going to consider this last call for any seniors that would like to share. All right. Well, the band can come on back, and I'll just pray for us quickly. And we have some things for you guys afterwards, so I hope that you'll stick around and hang out. You'll hear more about that in a couple minutes. But God, I just thank you for the witness of these students in this community. Thank you for your faithfulness in their lives, in each of our lives. God, it's really powerful to hear the ways that you move and work in the lives of people around us. Even if we think that we know these people really well, it's amazing to hear stories of what you're doing within their hearts. And so just thank you for an evening where we can just share and hear from each other and be encouraged by those stories. I pray that if anyone's words stuck out to anyone else in the room, that they would have the courage to talk to them about it, that they would find friendship and community with that person. And God, that you would continue to grow our relationships with you by using each other. So thank you for the gift of community and the gift of your love. Amen. You can go ahead and stand, and we'll worship together.